Welcome to the Spike Feed, your leading Magic the Gathering podcast. What is up? My name is Curtis. And again, we just can't stop. We can't stop having huge shows. And we also can't stop with technical issues. But I'm told, Dustin, that your microphone works this episode. True or false?
It is working, but the signal already seems to be a little choppy. We'll see what happens.
Don't do this to Cameron. He is already like...
He's so stressed, he's going to start losing his hair.
Yep, yeah, it's true.
Right, so let me pass around some introductions. My co-host and good buddy and Magic financier is Dustin. Also on the line, the man who's already crying due to our audio quality is Cameron. So, yes. Guys, we had, you know, Standard to talk about. It was game day this week. We also have some info. 15 spoilers to talk about. Conspiracy isn't even all the way spoiled. Vintage Masters just got spoiled, but for the sake of everyone's sanity, I won't really even talk about it. We just got to talk about game day, right? We got to talk about Standard. Cameron, you also played some Legacy.
Yep.
Dustin, you just sold video games to Target for
Indeed.
Profit.
Indeed. It was awesome.
Week.
It yeah. was.
So, yeah, let's not even go down that road. Let's just start with Cameron. Cameron, how did Standard go, buddy?
Standard is okay. Instead of going with my gut, which I should have went with the heroic thing archetype that I was going with, instead I went with just a straight red-white burn that's doing fairly well. If you go to like MTG Top 8, it's like number 3 right now in the aggro. And so... I thought, okay, this would be all right. So I suited that up. It had like Chandra's Phoenix in it. It had the Eidolon of the Great Revel, and then just a ton of burn. So red, white burn, pretty much.
Right.
It's a good deck. It's a fast deck. It's a faster deck than a lot of the decks that seem to be performing really well. But it can lose steam very, very, very quickly. That's what happened, I guess, for my game day. So I went 1-3. And there's not a lot to report. I mean, I played against a lot of mono black devotion or a variant thereof.
And so basically they cast Grey Merchant and you've lost. Is that what happened?
Yeah. There's just not a lot of easy ways to kind of get around that with a red-white archetype.
So go ahead, Dustin.
Is it me or is the uncommon promo that they gave out for game day like one of the worst game day promos in ever?
To be fair, it does look fantastic.
Sure.
It's a good-looking card, man.
Right. That's all fine and dandy, right? But, wow, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, spoiler, I ended up with both promos, and the Dictate definitely looks a lot better in full art than the Leeches. But I want to go back to you, Cameron, your deck choice. What was going through your brain when you were packing this burn deck together? And thinking, this will do well. Is it just because you saw it on MTG Top 8?
Yeah, I've been seeing it perform fairly well. So whenever Star City States were going on, and you looked at like all those 50 top deck lists, there were a ton in the Top 8 that were like the red-white burn. And I just thought, okay, this might be a little bit more of a competitive deck than the brew that I've been playing with. So that's kind of why I went in there.
I hear it does really good against mono black.
You know, I did fairly well against mono black. I just felt like my card synergy just didn't work the way that I wanted, so that by turn 4, I feel like I'm out of cards, or I am out of cards, and I just have nothing to cast, and then they Grey Merchant me to death.
Right.
So it's okay against mono black. It's very, very, very good against Esper. And pretty good against blue-white control. Like, the control decks are what you want to see when you're playing that deck.
Yeah.
Lots of scry lands. It's really bad. Like, worse than usual against the green decks. Because there's so much incidental life gain in those decks between Scavenging Ooze and Courser.
Yeah.
Like, they can undo a lot very, very quickly. Because Courser comes down on turn 3, sometimes turn 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean... Mm-hmm. It's bad news, and you can't ever get through the guy.
Yeah.
Did you lose? Did you play against that deck, or did you mostly play against mono black at your
shop? It was mono black, and then actually a blue white it was an America control. It was running Karanos and a couple other like red cards, but it was like the blue white control deck, which I did reasonably well against. That's actually the one matchup that I did win against. And yeah, that deck is just a little too slow for like the, you know, 12 points of damage I can do very, very quickly.
Yeah, so that kind of ties in with my game day. So I had very much planned to play Jund Monsters, but unfortunately I was kind of hoping that Dustin would be able to get the cards together for me. I gave him the list, what, like last week or something? So I didn't give you a ton of time at all.
Right.
And, you know, I'm very demanding of you, aren't I, Dustin?
Well, the other thing is I do have a decent amount of it here. We hadn't been in contact for a couple days.
Right. But no, so I was planning on playing Jund Monsters, but I didn't really have it together. I didn't have a good experience with green-red monsters at States. The deck just didn't really work well for me at that meta. So I put together blue-white control, right? Dustin got me some sweet foil Japanese last breaths that look... They look fantastic. They do. And then you also got me some foil divinations from Theros, which best foil divination, right?
Definitely.
So, I mean, I've got this all together, sleeved up. I go, I buy my new dragon shields. I sit down to sleeve it up, okay? And there are 24 people to play at game day, which is a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot more than usual.
Mm-hmm.
And I look around me at the table because every seat's taken. Every single player... Like the left, the right, and in front of me, there was one red white aggro player and two mono red players. And I see this guy like main decking because they're doing the same thing that I'm doing, kind of preparing and gold fishing and sleeving. And this kid is main decking Skullcracks. So I'm like, well, nope, get out the green red monsters. I'm not doing this, I'm not playing this game, right? And so I play green red monsters, and through the Swiss, I shoot through the Swiss. I go 5-0, and I want to talk about my semifinal round. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm playing against another guy that's green red monsters, and this is not a pejorative statement at all. He was on a budget version of the deck. Okay. And this is again, no disrespect at all. We've all been there. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And this guy was making it work. Okay?
Good.
So game one of this match, I do this math. I put together my blockers. And basically, he doesn't have the mana to Mizzium Mortars me. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I set aside two blockers, and I do the math. And basically, I hit him with Stormbreath Dragon. I have two Coursers and a Mutavault ready to block. Okay? And I do this math. Basically, he can swing out and hit me for one, and then I'll kill him on the swing back, right?
Sure.
Right.
What card but Clan Defiance does he cast? For those of you who don't know, Clan Defiance hits my Courser for four, my Stormbreath Dragon for four, and four to my face.
Jeez.
Yep.
And it kills me. Okay? Didn't see that one coming. So, this is game one. This wasn't a boarded into thing, right? Game two, I win real quick. And then we're in game three. Look at my first seven. Green cards, mountain. Mulligan. One land, Nykthos. Mulligan. Down to five.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Sounds good so far.
Sounds great, doesn't it?
Great, yeah.
And my opponent has done this thing. Where he's, you know how sometimes when people, they're so sure that they're winning that they're not really paying attention to what's going on? Okay? I want to just kind of paint the picture. Here's what he has on the board. He has a Polychronos, a Sylvan Caryatid, and an Ember Swallower. Okay?
Okay.
I have an Elvish Mystic and a Domri Raid. That's it. So here's what happens. He attacks me with Polychronos, ignores my Domri Raid. Okay. Plays Ember Swallower. My turn, I attack with Elvish Mystic. He's not really paying attention, so he goes, sure, I'll block with Ember Swallower, which is a 4-5. I Blood Rush it with Gore Clan Rampager, making my Elvish Mystic a 5-5.
Right.
Kill his Ember Swallower, and then I go, down tick Domri, kill your Polychronos.
Right.
Boom.
way it should be, right?
And there's about seven people watching this match, and you get an audible, oh, like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Right. And then off the top, Stormbreath Dragon, swing, 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 he's dead. That's it.
That's very awesome. Nice.
So that happens, and my opponent goes into the silent form of tilt, where he doesn't acknowledge my presence, doesn't speak to me. Catatonic shock, right? And here's what upsets me. So I go to the counter, I split with the guy for the finals, and we roll a dice for the mat, okay?
Right. Did you get the mat?
I lost the roll for the mat.
Oh.
Now, he offered me so it was a $100 split, okay?
Okay.
So he offered me, I take 25 in the mat, and he gets 75. Should I have done that, Dustin?
No.
Okay, I didn't.
All right.
I said, hey, let's get out, because the tournament had run late, because 24 players, three people showed up with Turbo Fog, Mazes End Fog. So jeez. Every round went to time. Anyway, so I'm changing my store credit for a cryptic command, which I need.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy running the shop goes, you know, Curtis, I got to tell you, you got really lucky there.
Yeah.
and I said, why? And he said, you know, your opponent should have done this, this, and this. And I was like, hold on. Game one, I got blown out by Clan Defiance. Game three, I mulled down to five. I'm not feeling bad about this at all, right? Like, you got to take advantage when you can.
Yeah.
That's magic, right?
Well, and you're still playing the game and doing what you're supposed to do. Right, just because your opponent wasn't paying attention doesn't make you lucky, right?
And by the way, it's not necessarily wrong of him to play the Ember Swallower. This is what a bunch of people were saying. They were saying, "Oh, he should have just a monstrous Polychronos attacked your Domri, killed your Elvish Mystic." But if he untaps with Ember Swallower, he nukes all my lands. Like, it's over. So like. Granted, it's not like he was just out of his mind while he was doing it, but I hate that kind of you just got lucky thing, and it's like mm-hmm. really I just went 7-0, so
yeah,
oh well, right? It's like Cameron, it's like you were there to just tell me that I just have dumb luck.
Yeah, you did okay.
So Dustin, these game day promos that I got,
right?
You're taking them off my hands, or should I just put them in my own trade binder?
I'll take them off your hands, even that leeches.
I mean, the dictate's okay, right?
Maybe. I don't really see it getting heavy play or anything like that. I might be wrong. I mean, some decks like that type thing, but we'll see. Mm-hmm.
So the other question is, like, from a financial perspective, is these mats. So let's say, you know, you win one of these mats, and you don't like it, or you're not really into collecting mats, like... What's if someone comes up to you to trade for it, what should you unload for it? Is it $25 tends to be the going rate or what?
The older champion mats were more sought after. I just think there was less of them. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, there's been more stores opening and stuff. So I think it also depends on content, right? Like who's on the mm-hmm. mat? Is it, you know, a good looking one? Is there, you know, somebody important? Stuff like that. But I've seen some of the less sought after ones and newer ones going for maybe 20-ish. And that's right. That's eBay price. And you got to think that there's, you know, fees and stuff on top of that too.
Right. But like, I want to say it was M14 or M13, whatever mat was just Chandra on it.
Right.
I mean, I got hit up directly after the tournament was over for the mat. And
right.
I ended up unloading it for some dollar amount that I don't remember. Don't worry, Dustin. I'm sure I unloaded it for like 50 cents and got totally ripped off.
Right. That one there makes sense that it would be a little bit more sought after being a planeswalker or so on. But a lot of these newer ones, like the Journey of the Nyx one, I mean, I like the art and everything, but I probably wouldn't trade into it for more than like $15.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to know that I made the right call. I mean, hey, I lost the dice roll, but I want to go eat some Chinese food, so...
But if you had the mat, you could use it as a placemat. At the Chinese
I could have used it at Panda Express. It would have been amazing.
Right.
Okay, so let's cut off this segment. We're going to talk M15 spoilers. We'll be right back. So, guys, E3 is coming up. And as a result, Duel of the Planeswalkers kind of information has been trickling through, which has led to a bunch of M15 spoilers. You guys didn't think I was going to get to that point, did you?
Wow. Like, that is a huge jump to conclusion.
No, you said E3, yeah. And all I can think of was what games are going to switch on Plus.
Let's not go down that road. Let's not become a video game podcast today.
I'm just saying.
So there's a ton of cards worth talking about. Dustin, I'm going to lead off with you, man. What's speaking to you?
Well, the first one that's speaking to me, if I can see this at the same time and talk in the microphone without, you know, doing bad things for you, Chasm Skulker. So he's one blue, two colorless for a Squid Horror. That right there is just awesome, right? He's a Squid Horror. He's a 1-1. Whenever you draw a card, you put a 1-1 counter on him. When he dies, you put X 1-1 blue squid creature tokens with Island Walk onto the battlefield, where X is the number of 1-1 counters that was on him. I think this guy is pretty powerful.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, obviously combined with Sphinx's Rabbit's like super cool, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, 3 is such an awkward spot to put him in because, you know, if you're a control deck, a lot of times that's where you're playing your Counterspell or Oblivion Ring variant, right?
Right.
So, you know, obviously... The effect is powerful. He could also be in just a blue aggro deck, but that seems slow. I think he's going to be more of a control guy. And if you sacrifice him, like, boy,
yeah,
right? You could do some kind of, like, engine type thing.
Right. I think that he could have been at 2 mana, and they could have thrown him as a mythic, and that would have worked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, which, by the way, in limited, he's going to be a house, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ugh. So, Cameron, what do you think about Chasm Skulker? I about called him a stalker. He's a skulker, whatever that means.
I'm just trying to think when rotation happens, where does he fit? And I just don't see him being effective with the amount of card draw that you're actually going to need.
Well, this goes back to what we just talked about with game day, as to whether or not the game day rare, the Dictate would be used. I mean, you can easily flash it in on your opponent's turn, start drawing 2 cards a turn. He's getting double counters.
Okay.
I mean, that type of stuff is possible.
Yeah.
The other thing with it being in blue and that enchantment being in blue is you will have some counters. So if they are drawing extra cards, the big ones, you'll be able to hopefully stop.
Yeah.
So, Cameron, let's throw it to you. What card is talking to you, man?
I want to talk about another blue card, and it's Quickling, and it costs 1 and a blue. It's a creature fairy rogue with a power and toughness of 2/2. It has flash, flying, and when Quickling enters the battlefield, sacrifice it unless you return another creature you control to its owner's hand. And this one just really intrigues me for maybe a fairy deck, but especially with like a Snapcaster Mage or especially Vendilion Click, I could see this being kind of a good card to maybe create some sort of synergy going on.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, the thing that you're going to want to bounce back with most often is Spell Stutter Sprite in a fairy deck.
Yeah.
So the thing that kind of sucks, though, is the actual thing that says sacrifice it unless you return. So with that trigger on the stack, like, they could kill your other remaining creature and then you have to sacrifice your Quickling.
Right.
Yeah.
Which does suck.
Am I just super greedy here? This is another card that, to me, if it was like 1 blue mana and a rare, would just be freaking amazing, right? It's like
a 1-mana 2/2 flash flying, yeah, that would be very good.
Well, I mean, even if they made him a 1/1, you know, and he started the sacrifice thing, you still wouldn't be able to play until turn 2, presumably, right? I don't know. I guess I'm just greedy and spoiled by, you know, like, super fast stuff in Legacy, right?
No, that's fair. I mean,
yeah.
And I don't know, like, the Fairies deck is such a tight build right now anyway. I don't know that you're going to, I mean, he might be a one of in that deck, maybe.
Okay.
Right? Like, returning a Spellstutter Sprite or a Vendilion Click is, like, super awesome, but otherwise he's not going to do much, right? You know, plus Scion is pretty good. Like, you could throw him in response to them trying to kill your Scion and then replay your Scion. So there's some cool, like, kind of cute things. It's not bad at all.
Yeah.
the card that, guys, I'm kind of excited about.
Uh-oh.
Okay, can we talk about Soul of Ravnica?
If you really want to.
Now, this is where Dustin goes, why? Go ahead, Dustin.
Why?
So, he's a 6-mana 6/6 flying, and you can pay 3 blue-blue to draw a card for each color among permanents you control, right? And then 3 blue-blue, you can exile him from your graveyard for the same effect. So I think he's going to be maybe, you know, we speculated about this with the blue-red god.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll be him. Maybe it'll be the Soul of Ravnica as the card advantage engine.
Yeah.
So just putting this out here, right, in-game you put this guy in mm-hmm. play. Okay, he can't really protect himself, so obviously you're going to have to protect him. But his effect does work from the graveyard, which does matter. You know, Ashiok in play triggers him twice. Okay?
Yeah.
So, well, I guess he triggers himself too, but if he's in the graveyard, Ashiok would trigger him twice. He might be paired with Elspeth, so there's another... Like, basically, if this said 3 blue-blue, draw 2 or 3 cards, I think people would be much more excited. And a 6/6, you know, flying dude is definitely not bad. So I think I'm not over the moon, but I'm living in this dream world where I'm going to be able to control the game, play this guy with like 11 mana, and I can do this in response to them trying to kill him.
This is the problem that I'm seeing here. It's like he's 6 mana, so he's going to be late in a blue deck anyway, and at most you're going to be getting 1 or 2 cards in an activation, right? I mean, there's going to be awesome times when you're getting 3 cards, but it really lends itself to a mono blue thing to play Nykthos to get him out quicker or so on, and then you're getting less cards, right?
No, that's fair. I don't know that he'll go in that shell, but like let me just put it to you this way: all the control decks in block were playing Prognostic Sphinx. Do you think right. he's better or worse than Prognostic Sphinx? It's close, right?
Prognostic Sphinx, though, he's the one that can gain hexproof, right?
Yes, and he scries, right. But you do not draw any cards.
Right. It's a tough toss-up. Drawing cards is great, but also protecting your guy with hexproof is great. So,
yeah, and by the way, yeah, and Prognostic Sphinx is a 3/5. This guy's a 6/6. You know, it might be a post-board thing. I'm just saying it's feasible, but that this card is good enough.
Right.
Dustin, your other card you wanted to talk about.
For some reason, some of the dragons lately just keep getting better, right? I don't know. So, Siege Dragon, he's 2 red, 5 colorless for a 5/5 flying, right? Now, I don't necessarily see this guy replacing Storm Breath Dragon anytime soon, but his ability is very powerful, right? So, he's got flying. When he enters the battlefield, destroy all walls your opponent controls, because obviously that's a thing, right? But
it could happen.
You know, this way, Wall of Denial can still die, right?
Right.
But anyway, so whenever he attacks, if your opponent controls no walls, it deals 5 damage to each creature without flying defending player controls. And that is a pretty big deal when you're playing against a lot of the aggro decks.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get this in limited, you've won. It's the end of everything, right?
It is a game, yeah.
Right. Now, Construct It, like I said, I don't think he's going to replace Storm Breath Dragon. He's not as good as Thundermaw Hellkite, but he's still pretty powerful as maybe like a 1-of in something. We'll see.
Yeah, I think the danger is that people are going to read just the first sentence and just be like, forget about it, right?
Right.
And it does represent, you know, the kind of effect where I don't know that you would side out Storm Breath Dragons, but like, let's say you're playing green red monsters against another mid range deck, where you know you're going to get to that mana count between Sylvan Caryatids and whatever. Keep in mind, a monstrous Storm Breath Dragon is 7 mana, so you know you put them into play, and then, which by the way, is Sylvan Caryatid a wall? I don't think it is.
I don't believe it is either. And I was thinking about that too with Fennec's. Where people were talking about that deck where they had all the guys with Defender, and the next thing you know, you're milling people. But all those creatures aren't walls. They're just defenders. So you wouldn't really just be able to crush them with this.
Right. Now, I am praying that this signals a Wall of Omens reprint. Like, please.
Right.
Just please. That's all I'm asking for. It's not crazy.
I just want a wall deck. I mean, how awesome would that be?
Dude, Rise of the Eldrazi Limited, there was a wall deck. It was really good. It was awesome. Anyway, Cameron, your next card, man.
Well,
what do you want to talk
about? I want to talk about a card called Waste Not. It costs one and a black. It's an enchantment. Whenever an opponent discards a creature card, put a 2/2 black zombie creature token onto the battlefield. It also has whenever an opponent discards a land card, add two or black to your mana pool. And then finally, whenever an opponent discards a non-creature, non-land card, draw a card. So it's almost like it's a bad Deathrite Shaman, and I like it.
Okay, Cameron, I wouldn't say this is a bad Deathrite Shaman. Its cost is very cheap, being two to get out. I like that. But
yeah,
the biggest thing you have to think of is we still have Thoughtseize, right? So you can look at their hand, and you can choose whether you're going to get a black zombie or if you're going to draw a card. You know, you can choose which one of these would activate as well as what you're getting rid of in their hand.
So what other discard spells are there in in Theros block? Is it just Thoughtseize, right?
Well, Duress is in M14 right now. There's a chance it could come back in M15. They could always reprint Inquisition of Kozilek.
Liliana? Are they going to reprint Liliana?
I don't see that happening.
That's possible, but unlikely. Yeah. No, I think where Waste Not has the most interesting applications is in Modern. Particularly in the Raven's Crime Life from the Loam deck, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can actually just wreck your opponent because you're recycling Raven's Crimes and you actually, you know, generate a ton more advantage with this card out. I don't know if it's good enough because I haven't really experienced playing against that deck more than a couple times.
Right.
But I would suspect it's not going to be good enough, but there's so much text on this card that I think older formats, it will likely be a thing.
Sure.
I could see that.
Is it my turn?
It's totally your turn.
It totally is my turn. So let's just stay on the control route and let's talk about Resolute Archangel.
All right.
Okay. So it's 5WW for a flying creature angel. When Resolute Archangel enters the battlefield, if your life total is lower than your starting life total, it becomes your starting life total.
Yep.
Okay, explain this to me. I'm having trouble processing this one.
Okay, so this is what happens. You're playing your burn deck, right?
Yep.
The one that you were just talking about. And you get this guy down to 3. You just need to top deck something. You're ready to kill him. Next turn, Resolute Archangel, he's at 20. Instantly. Okay. As soon as it comes into play, boom, 20.
That is annoying. Okay.
Right.
So, Cameron, I honestly think that this probably won't see any play because 7 mana against a burn deck is...
It's a big deal to try to get there. You'd have to do some green-white super ramp and be doing this on purpose, right?
Yeah.
Right. And you could have Nykthos, right? Like, that's not crazy. You know, maybe next standard season you're more likely to have that kind of mana. Maybe.
Mm.
This card definitely will see play in EDH. I mean, they can cheat it in whenever they want type thing. And it's just going to make those games go for an extra 4 hours.
Right. Right. Which, hey, sweet. But I think what should really stop you from playing Burn, Cameron, is Courser of Kruphix. Like, looking at that card should tell you that, I mean, that is a way bigger deal for Burn than anything else.
It is.
How are you ever going to beat a mono green devotion deck with Burn now? Like, I just can't put together a scenario in my head where that would work.
Yeah.
Right? So just put it on the shelf, Cameron.
It's on the shelf. Don't worry.
Dude, no lie. The primary reason I want to switch to Jund monsters is so I don't have to have basic mountains in my deck. Every time a basic mountain shows up, it like ruins my hand. It's the worst card in the entire deck.
No response.
No response. So, hey, did you guys want to say anything else about M15? We still don't know about Suntail Hawk being in the set.
I think there's a 50% chance.
I'm hoping we get like a mythic, like Queen of the Suntail Hawks, right? Something that generates more Suntail Hawks.
That would be sweet, yeah. Really, that crab horror should be like a Suntail Hawk horror that just creates more Suntail Hawks, right?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because none of us will ever work at WotC, ever. Yeah, we should petition pretty hard for some kind of Suntail Hawk Lord, or just a Hawk Lord in general. Like, what's that about?
Yeah.
You got Squadron Hawks, you got Suntail Hawks.
Yeah.
No love for the bird.
No Hawk Lord at all. What a bunch of crap.
I know.
Right? Oh, hey, I do want to say this about Conspiracy, because we were way down on it last week. Since they've spoiled the fact that Misdirection and Explore are going to be in it, so that makes it better.
Well, okay, so okay. Let's slow down here. Misdirection being in it is a big deal, because Misdirection had jumped to $50. So, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That being said, Explore, great card, but not worth a bunch, right? A dollar.
Oh, did I say Explore or Exploration?
You said Explore.
Oh, I think I meant Exploration, but the point is...
that would be a big difference, right?
Yeah, it is a huge difference.
Yeah, that's $40, so that does make sense.
It's like, geez, that's low. It's a legacy. You know,
that's why I'm like, what does that matter?
Right. It's just a shun, right?
Right.
No, so if they mix in a few more reprints like that, I think it's a really good fit. And this is what I wanted before, because, you know, this is just my thing. The drum I'm beating is, please give us more access to legacy.
Yep.
Every single new player that I've talked to, like, wants to play Legacy. They just don't know if they can make it a reality, and I think that sucks. It sucks.
Right?
I don't like it being an exclusive club, you know? So, I don't like having a members-only jacket that says Legacy across the back.
What if it said Legacy, then had a picture of a Suntail Hawk?
Well, I mean, dude, way to ruin my Christmas gift for Cameron.
Thanks. My bad. Yeah. Spoiler.
I mean, you want like Top Gun style leather jacket with a Suntail Hawk on the back, right?
Well, yeah, and then the aviator. Yeah, well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't Top Gun style be a flight jacket, not a?
No, they wear jacket. Like these ridiculous leather jackets with their navigator glasses. And they're on motorcycles.
Oh, and like the fluffy sheep's wool collar or something, right?
Oh well, you got to, dude. Maybe we should go with more like a feather collar.
Because so he'll look like Squall from Final Fantasy VIII. It'll be horrible.
Wow.
Yeah.
This has gone down a weird path.
It has. Let's just not talk about Final Fantasies. Cameron, you ready to become a Spike?
Oh yeah.
So every week, generally speaking, we like to give Cameron an older format card and have him evaluate it using his keen card evaluation skills that he's sharpened over the past few months as a MTG noob. Cameron, what's your card this week?
This week we have City of Traders. It's a land. If you play a land, sacrifice City of Traders. Then it has tap, add two colorless mana to your mana pool. So this is just straight up mana generation, right? I mean, on turn one, being able to play two colorless mana is sweet. On turn, if you play this on your second turn and have three, that's really, really awesome. So it's just a way to maybe go off faster. So there's that. But this problem with whenever you play another land, sacrifice City of Traders kind of stinks. But I know from playing today in Legacy, where I had seen this card, how ironic is that, Curtis?
Oh, wow.
That some guy had, it was a blue-red, is it something card, where when it came into the battlefield, he was able to return a target land back to his hand, which then he would bring back the City of Traders. And then he also got like a blue and a red from that is it card. I can't remember what it's called.
Dude, I have no idea what card you're talking about right now. Like, not even the foggiest. But hold on. Don't search it up. So, okay. City of Traders, you're right. Dustin, yep. What can I find a City of Traders for these days?
City of Traders Star City price is $100 now.
Good grief. That's... Yes. Remember... That I would love to see the price trajectory on that card, because it's definitely gone up a lot.
Yeah, it has. Cameron, you're right. It is used in Legacy. I've seen this in a deck with Sea Drakes. Sea Drake returns lands to your hand as well. But it's also paired with, you play like, I think, is it Chrome Moxes or something like that? something to where you got also artifact mana as well. And you can just get a Sea Drake out there incredibly quick, and then like a G-Tay on it, and you're just like bashing them, and like in three turns are dead. It's just
the stompy, stompy deck.
Yeah, or a Batterskull or something. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Dude, I did not expect. I mean, Sea Drake, like, wow. Yep. That's epic.
It's a thing, man.
I think that's a thing from like Legacy from like 5 years ago.
Right.
Not so much anymore. Like City of Traders is used almost exclusively in like show and tell style decks where they're just looking to go Lotus Petals, City of Traders, show and tell. Are you dead? Yeah. That's the main usage of City of Traders.
The big thing is the big thing is you play four City of Traders and four Ancient Tombs because they're essentially the same card. And
right.
you have eight chances instead of four to get it.
Right, totally. And Ancient Tombs also seeing this crazy climb in the last year or so because of that deck.
Right.
Cameron, so we didn't have a chance to talk about your Legacy. Just real quick, let's close out the show with your experiences in Legacy because you texted me and you're like, wow, this is a lot better than Standard. And I was like, bro, I know.
Well...
did you win?
I placed within the top six, I guess.
Is that out of six?
No, it wasn't. It was out of like 24 people, 25 people.
That's not bad.
I played.
So does that deserve a Katy Perry song right here?
It probably does, yeah. But it was a Legacy Merfolk deck. I went 2-1-1, which was okay. I don't really have anything to say except that it is still the best game of Magic that I can play, and I love it. So, yeah.
Wow. So, you haven't really cubed, though.
No, I haven't cubed yet.
So, that would be the other, right? So there are also these people that say Vintage is better, but there's like two of them because nobody plays Vintage.
They're all in Europe.
Oh, Dustin, I totally traded for a memory jar this weekend, so yeah.
Awesome.
I'm on it. So, let's wrap up the show. Dustin, if someone would like to get a hold of you, can they?
No, they can't. It's not
you're not even willing to give out your Minecraft server. It's unbelievable. Cameron, if someone would like to get a hold of you.
@Cameron_McCoy on Twitter.
I am @CurtisNow. Our official show feed is @SpikeFeedMTG. You can listen to us on mtgcast.com, brainstormbrewery.com, and spikefeed.com. We will check you guys next week.